At 82, Judy Collins has released her first album of all original songs. It's called Spellbound. And we talked, starting about the title song, which I'm going to play for you. The narrator in that song is on a beach in Hawaii, and the lyrics are equal parts of Hawaii's great beauty and that person's very deep pain. So I started by asking Judy to talk about where that song springs from. I didn't know that it was about her, and her response led to a deeply revealing conversation.
I wrote that in Hawaii a few years ago, and I was standing looking down the beach from Diamond Head, and I was thinking about the times that I've been to Hawaii. The first time was in 1966, and with Mimi Farina and Arlo Guthrie, we came back from Japan and had a stayover in Hawaii, and I wandered off on my own and found a very beautiful cove with a little inlet of the ocean, and I spent some time alone there. And of course, all those years before 1978, when I went to Hawaii, I was usually drunk. When I was there a few years ago, I said, you know, this is so wonderful to be here and to be sober and to enjoy this glorious place on the planet, and aren't I lucky? So it went from there, and a lot of the memories were very much about being confused and being in a place that I loved that was beautiful, but that I wasn't very happy until then after I got sober and I went back, and how it had transformed itself.
You know, it's so interesting. I wondered who you were singing to, and I never guessed that you were singing to yourself.
Yeah, very much so.
There's so much healing in that line about now I live, now I am spellbound. What did getting sober do in terms of your being able to live and to surface?
Oh, well, I was a fall-down blackout drunk, and I was in bad trouble. I couldn't sing. I couldn't perform. I had a year where I made no money, where I was really lost, and got lucky and went into treatment, and That's when my life really started, was when I got back from treatment and was sober. So, yeah, I didn't miss the boat. A lot of people do. It's too bad, and it's not, I don't know what it is. It's hard work. That's part of the problem. It's also a self-diagnosed illness, and that makes it intriguing because nobody can tell you that you're in trouble. You don't want to listen. I mean, you may listen, but you don't really, they don't know, and you don't know what to do about it. So it's very different. Life on this side of the illness is very, very different.
You've been very public about that, about your son's suicide, and I understand that keeping secrets can be corrosive, but how do you decide what's a secret and what's just personal, and you don't have to tell us everything?
Well, I feel strongly that talking about things and issues and problems with other people, that's why I wrote about suicide. When my son died, there were no books about suicide. I mean, there was nothing I could find except The Savage God and another book written by a friend of mine about the suicide of her son. But when I was a kid, I had a suicide attempt at 14. And when I got into therapy at 23, the main reason was that I wanted to talk about my drinking and also about my suicide attempt. And I don't know that they knew much about it, but we talked about it, and it was healing and tremendously important to talk about all the secrets in my family, particularly about the alcoholism and the things that we didn't talk about. So I've always felt that being open and finding ways to communicate about your life is a healthy way to go.
And you're helping others, not just yourself. You received the MacLean Award for being outspoken about mental health issues and alcoholism. It must feel good to be helping other people too.
Well, my intent when I wrote the book about suicide called Sanity and Grace, I wanted to get the word out because for me, the taboo was so toxic and so destructive. If you can get the ideas people that they need to talk about these things, and they need to make them transparent and make them available for discussion. It breaks down the taboo, and it lessens people's pain.
Is it any more satisfying as a singer to turn all this into song, as you've done in this album, as opposed to writing a book?
I've written a number of books, and I've written a lot of songs, actually, over the course of 60 years now, nearly. So I can't really tell you what the difference is. It just was a need to do that and to be able to be singing my own songs at this point in my life. I think that was part of my own feelings, that I had to do this to just grow some more.
How great that you still want to grow, that we don't just reach an age where we say, I am what I am, but we can keep growing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe in that. You know, there are a lot of interesting research programs going on about the brain and how, particularly the female brain, that there's something about the way in which the right and the left side of the brain begin to talk to each other in a different way in women as we grow older. I'm not surprised at that, because I think what we have in life, all the various challenges that we're given about relationships and sexuality and the issues of having to overcome our fears and so on, probably contributes to the ability of the brain to really develop other resources almost in spite of us. And they say scientifically that there's kind of integration of the spheres, and that we do find things more easily accomplished as we get older. May not be in the knees, but it's in the brain.
I love that, because all we hear about is cognitive decline, so that's wonderful.
Yeah, I don't believe in that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's all in the brain. It's all in the thinking. It's in optimism or lack thereof. It's in determination or the opposite. It has a lot to do with your frame of mind and your point of view and whether you think you're going forward or falling back.
How important is it to your frame of mind, to your well-being, to do live performance and get that immediate response?
Oh, I have to. You know, I do. This is what I do for a living, and it's what I've done most of my life. It's a responsibility, too, because I think people thrive on and get energy from the arts, and the performing arts are some of the most striking, because in the moment, you're sitting on stage and you're singing and thinking about things, and your audience is listening and sitting in silence, but they're thinking about things. And what they're thinking about is all about their own issues and their own problems and how to solve them. And what do I do about this or that or the other? Or maybe I'll change my mind about racism or politics or Roe v. Wade. I mean, all these things go on subconsciously while we're listening to music or sometimes looking at paintings. But I think music is the direct helper in mental health.
You said that after your son died, that Joan Rivers told you, you won't recover unless you keep working. And, you know, you've been talking the need to.
Yeah.
Well, talk about that, how important that was to you.
I was back from the funeral only a few days, and I was sitting in my studio. But I had really called my management and said, you know, just shut everything down because I'm not going to be doing this anymore. And the phone rang, and it was Joan, and she was calling me from Las Vegas in her dressing room, just about to go on. You know, and her husband had died of suicide. And she said, I just want to tell you a couple of things. First of all, there's no guilt in suicide. You didn't cause it. And secondly, you have to work or else you won't get through it. You can't shut your life down. You can't stop working. And I believed her. I listened to her because I knew she had that experience coming from what she had gone through. And I immediately called and said, okay, we're back on track here. And then I did, in fact, go out, continue to go out and not cancel all my shows. And she was right. It was very healing. It was exactly what I needed to do. My sister came out with me for one of the laps of the tour, and my mother came out with me. My husband came out with me. It was really quite extraordinary.
I wonder if early on you were worried that you'd never feel good again, and if at some point you said, wow, I actually feel good.
Yes, it is surprising that you can recover because it was so devastating. But human nature is an amazing thing, and give it some light and some water and sunshine, and all those buds start coming out, and spring arrives.
So speaking of spring, when's the last time you were in Hawaii?
I was there 3 weeks ago. Oh, it was fabulous. I love being there. It's very exciting place. And, of course, I sang my song there, and people loved it. They were felt it personally, I think.
The person in this song isn't enjoying it.
Isn't all there? Yeah, being all there is really wins. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Alcoholism is a horrible disease, and it's a very enlightened recovery. I think whenever the drink goes and the lights come on again, you're really kind of dazzled by what's going on. It's worth the journey.
Windy day in Honolulu, looking out beyond the hills, memories and times of heartache, lays of lilies, daffodils. Here I lighted like a bird upon the bright blue water shore, with my hope and with my nightmares, praying I could swim and soar. Dark dreams haunted sunlit days, while I drank down rum and hope, burning dreams and crimson lovers dancing on a thin bright floor. Spellbound. Birds of paradise were walking as though they were angel songs. Bright wings flew along the beaches in their shimmering sarongs.
Judy Collins singing about what life was and what it is since she got sober in Spellbound, the title song from her new album, her first of all original music. And I'm very grateful to her for singing out, speaking out, writing about all of this, and for speaking with me. Thank you, Judy.